Dude, you're not going to learn any of the stuff that these guys are teaching without actually trying to practice it. You could never teach this stuff in a book. You have to go bash your head against the wall. You have to go home at the end of the day feeling like a worthless individual because you only got cursed out all day. And that can go on for days or weeks. And then at some point, something happens. I was like, oh, we need to start doing this more often. You know what I'm saying? I'm remembering this right?
Yeah, you're remembering it right. The part that I remember is that I sold my car to start the...
Yeah, you did.
I sold my car to start the company. We started basically like a massive wholesale company. We capped out at 23 employees at one point. Mm-hmm. We had our own Shopify website. Prior to the merger of us being acquired, we were doing maybe around $350,000 a year. Once we sold the company, our gross yearly revenue was at $8 million. To be honest with you, college is bullshit to a certain extent, at least in my opinion. Again, the biggest thing, we'll even say it, you know, when you guys go to Harvard and all these, it's really the relationships and the networking that you do as opposed to that.
You have to play off the advantages that you have. Everybody has an advantage. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how much of a victim you think you are. You have an advantage that somebody else wishes they had. Figure that out and leverage it, man. You have to.
If I would have to conclude kind of like what this podcast and really what the underlying message is, yeah, you can learn how to do things, but not everybody really can learn how to put in the work ethic. And that's kind of what separates, you know, the doers from, you know, the people who are still constantly trying to do.
Hi guys, and welcome back to the Humanizing Success podcast. Thank you guys so much for the support and tuning back in. Please feel free to subscribe and hit that like button as it helps us a lot. So today we are here with Matias Nunez. Say that right?
Yeah, you sure
and
did.
And George Gil.
Yes, you did.
Perfect.
No Spanish accent there, huh?
My mom's Cuban, but it wasn't passed down. So, and as you guys can see, James is still here. So he just never left from the last podcast. Kind of just stuck around. But no, James is going to be a bit more of a part of this podcast, and you're going to see him more, and hopefully he'll. You know, we'll start him at the janitor and we'll move him up.
Somewhere between like a co-host and like a guest that never leaves.
There we go.
I feel like that's what I'm going for here.
I can see you also maybe his makeup right before.
Yeah. Okay. You don't need it.
So the first question that I like to ask to get kind of a base, this is the podcast is called Humanizing Success. Mm-hmm. So what does success mean to you guys when you guys picture someone who has success? Or what you're searching for with yourselves, what does that mean for you?
Okay, George, you want to answer
I'll
first?
I'll let you go first.
All right, so this is one of the questions I actually thought about.
Got to.
Yeah, no, but seriously, because to me, and it's kind of cool because it was like a little introspective journey in a certain way. So to me, my definition of success has kind of shifted over the years. I would say that at the point that I'm at now, having a young baby, you know, family, all that stuff, to me, success is based on balance. But kind of balance being obviously very heavily leaned towards being able to live the lifestyle that we want, right? And I'll try to make this kind of as quick as possible in that sense. But to me, I emphasize balance because George and I have also come from other situations we were in where we saw imbalances, where we saw people who maybe had all the money in the world and not too much more, okay, in some ways. Where to me, I think, you know, there really needs to be a balance of all those aspects because it's cool to have all the success in the material and financial aspects, but there needs to be a certain level of balance across the board with all the other aspects of life, you know? 100%. What do you think, George?
Yeah, I mean, I think success, obviously everybody has a different definition to what is success to them. To me, it's very similar to Matias. It's balance and in between the time of time, you know, money, and then being able to spend time with, you know, family and your health. Also, I had a journey of changing what I viewed success as, especially when, you know, you're a younger kid, it's in your teenage years, and you're looking up to people who all you see is what they have, you know, from the front-facing view of success, and you want all the money and all the cars. But then as you start to mature and you progress in life, then, you know, you realize that time, we really don't have a lot of time, where the value in how you spend your time also can define success. So, you know, Matthias and I have come from a point where we used to work super, super hard, long, long hours, which is awesome. But then there needed to be that balance that maybe we're missing in other parts. So success is being able to, in my opinion, have the freedom to be able to determine at what point you're doing what, whether you're working, whether you're spending time on your family, whether you're spending time on yourself. So same thing he said, it's really, really a balance, but I still measure success also to a certain degree based on kind of financial freedom, which, you know, is how much money you're making, because that allows you to do other things. So a lot of people try not to put a lot of emphasis on money, but it's still there at the end of the day. So that's still a part of the equation for me, for sure.
Do you think it's necessary to have that kind of imbalance at first? Because I know there's been a big shift recently more towards balance, screw balance for now, get all your ducks in a row, and then shift back towards balance.
I mean, I'll just answer that. I mean, I think it's a great question where I think you do need to be in balance in the beginning to kind of get yourself to the point of balance. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to achieve the things and they talk about it, but what's really required is to put in kind of that time and effort.
Yeah, because you're going to get out-competed by people who don't care about balance right now.
Correct. And yeah, to balance at certain points in this has to be complete imbalance. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like for sure, because you're not going to achieve the super high levels of quantifiable success without putting in the work, because, you know, it's like a quote, he who wants it the most wins. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, like, that's all it comes down to, you know. Like, there's gonna be, you were telling me about some guys that are cold calling, mm-hmm, the other day that have two VAs and they're here in Florida. They start cold calling at what, like super early, and then once the time shifts, they start doing the West Coast?
Yeah, so they do the whole entire day on the East Coast, and then once 5 o'clock hits on the East Coast, where the rest of the competition on the East Coast is probably, you know, dialing it down or, mm-hmm, you know, hanging it up for the day, they go and they spend an extra 4 hours for that day of hammering the West Coast. And that's, wow, a very so, like, good those, example, yeah, yeah, of, yeah, people putting, yeah, in 16-hour days.
Dude.
And just kind of like, you know, competing with everybody.
Hard to have an abundance mindset when you know people are out there doing that.
Dude, but the abundance is on the other side of that wall, man. It's yeah, those guys grinding it out, and absolutely, man. It's you have to just go full hardcore.
It sounds like also when we, a lot of times when we think of balance, we think of equal parts for everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like at different phases of your life, mm-hmm, it's going to be, each part is going to be obviously different.
Yeah.
So it sounds like that's kind of,
yeah, balance doesn't mean like you have, you know, four different aspects or compartments if you want to put, right, your life in, it's 25% of each. That doesn't necessarily mean balance. It may be, you know, 40%, 30%, and then 15 and 15, mm-hmm, but to each individual that can still be balanced. If that 15% they're giving today, they weren't even giving that, let's, mm-hmm, say, to their family or to themselves in the gym or anything like that. So although we're talking about balance, it doesn't need to be equally split up, mm-hmm, between the different things to still maintain a balance.
Yeah. So what does that look like for you guys right now? Because I mean, you've got a kid and you have a fiance.
Exactly. Where
how much is your,
dude,
time
out? So I'll answer real quick. So I'm trying to get my life back in order because I've realized that I like routine a lot. So I used to be very health focused and oriented. When George and I had our previous business that we went super deep in and we were just putting in crazy hours, that went out the window. I'm trying to get to the point now where I'm waking up at 6 a.m. I'm in the gym by like 6:30, quick, like 45 minutes or an hour, get home, eat, and then just honestly come here to work with George for the whole rest of the day.
So along with that question he asked, just give a little bit of background because we haven't talked about what do you guys do right now? How did you guys...
True. Or okay.
That's going to be a lot. We could start it off that way.
Yeah.
Way less fun.
So,
meet cute.
Yeah. So it's a pretty cool story because George and I have been best friends since undergrad now. So we met in undergrad. I had started a motor club, like a car club, basically at Nova Southeastern University with another friend. We were in the parking lot just putting posters out for an event that we were hosting. And then George comes by in his GT500, super sick car. We were immediately like trying to recruit him, and yeah, then honestly it just kind of went from there. We ended up connecting once we got involved with the car club and like starting to do that, where George and I, we used to meet, this is an undergrad, right, we used to meet like once every couple weeks, I don't remember the exact frequency at this point.
Yep.
And whatever business ideas he came up with during the week and whatever I kept up with, like came up with, we would just come and have a conversation either at my house or at his house, parents' house at that time, and just talk about business ideas. I mean, we were trying to launch a laundry service for Nova Southeastern at one point.
School, like a bunch of delivery services, just kind of like a party bus.
Pre-Uber. So this is before Uber existed. We wanted to create a shuttle that ran kids from the school just straight downtown and back.
Genius.
Okay, and like we were thinking it was gonna be like the mustache ride or something silly.
Yeah,
something completely ridiculous, typical.
How old were you guys when you were thinking about this?
It was since 2010.
Yeah, so 20 years old.
Yeah.
So you guys were always just like, bing, 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 bing.
Yeah, like new since ideas. Yeah, it was like 2010. It was an undergrad. We hooked up because of the cars, and then we both joined the sales minor that Nova Southeastern had introduced at the time. Because I was part of the first class and you were part of the second class.
Yeah, so we went at Nova Southeastern to the Huizinga School of Business, and we both minored in sales and majored in business administration. To be honest with you, college is bullshit to a certain extent. Yeah. At least in my opinion.
Aside from this guy.
The biggest thing, when they even say it, you know, when you guys go to Harvard and all these, it's really the relationships and the networking that you do as opposed to that. So
yeah,
I ended up meeting, you know, what ended up becoming my best friend and the business partner, where we've been involved in a bunch of things. We started off selling iPhone parts and stuff on eBay. Because I had a contact in China, and this is still when the iPhone 4S was still out. And I had a business in college that I started that was repairing iPhones, and then I kind of like, that was like my junior and senior year, that's all I was doing was a full cash business, and that's how, you know, I was making my money at the time. And I brought him in. I said, hey, you know, we can make a lot of money selling these parts for other people to do the fixing of them. And we started off doing that, and then we got into selling makeup.
Dude, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was funny though, because at that time, I that just brought back memories of like lunchtime running to USPS to go like drop off the boxes that we were selling to ship of like iPhone parts. I remember that. Ridiculous. Yeah.
You know what's so cool about that is now it's like there's this whole hustle culture kind of entrepreneurs are in the spotlight. But like back then, you guys just did that because you saw the opportunity. Nobody was really...
Because we wanted to make our own money too,
and right? Like they just naturally thought that.
Some important note is we both come from families who have owned their own businesses, also, right? So like, George's dad has had a successful business for a very long time. Guy's a subject matter expert in what he does. My parents, when we came over here from Venezuela, my dad got right into automotive upholstery, started that business. I watched my parents work ridiculous hours. Yeah. I'd be in the back of a van on a lot in a car rental parking lot while my dad was running around checking on all the cars and doing all this stuff. So like the work ethic, we both by default saw it, and that freedom of, okay, it's maybe not the easiest thing to have your own business, but it still beats the alternative most times.
Did you guys see what I wanted to talk about beforehand?
No.
Literally the next topic I wanted to talk about was like, in your childhood or upbringing, what, like, why are you so business oriented and entrepreneurial? So
that's pretty funny, because that's kind of just the flow of it. I mean, you can comment on your experience, because
my experiences were, you know, similar but different to Matias. My father was a successful businessman, and he also was involved in real estate as well. When he was 18, he bought his first like Section 8 duplex, and he's always been into that. He's like a one-man show, and he's really into like luxury fix and flips that he's lived in himself and just created value and done it that way. But the work ethic that I've seen from him is just, you know, something that not a lot of people have, to be honest with you. And then on the flip side, I was raised by my mom and my stepdad, which are both educators, or both, you know, teachers. My stepdad was a math teacher, and that really helped me a lot, because math ended up being my favorite subject. And then as you fast forward into the businesses, naturally I fell more into kind of like doing the underwriting and just kind of doing anything that's math based, and that fit a lot more with my
math is my least favorite subject,
you know. And then
generally speaking,
that's something else when that's important to talk about partnerships, because you know there's a lot of people who have partners, a lot of people who do it by themselves, and I applaud them for doing that. But the true partnership is being able to find somebody who doesn't share necessarily the same strengths and weaknesses that you have, and together you guys are better than individuals. And just kind of naturally, that's what happened with Matias and I, where we were both providing value to all of our businesses just in our own way. And it's been really cool. And even to this day, when we transition to real estate just this year, we're still doing the same thing because over that time we got to learn from each other who's better at what mm-hmm. and kind of how to work. Where listen, we've got into a bunch of fights and
that's just what have been the struggle.
The struggles have been, you know, personality differences, just differences in thought process. He's a lot more extroverted, I'm a lot more introverted, and it's just, you know, things like that. But at the same time, you get to appreciate that those are the things that kind of bring you together. Almost same thing in a personal relationship mm-hmm. that you may have with this, you know, significant other. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys 100%. Have to work together to be able to achieve some of the things, and you're not exact mirror images alike. So it's mm-hmm. challenges and working through that. But once you're able to work through that, it just kind of everything becomes invincible to a certain extent. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to be able to go through some of those experiences.
We went through our fights up. Obviously, the early days, being younger, being crazy, the personality differences, getting ourselves into some real pickles that we had to figure a way out of, you know what I'm saying? So
was there a time you can remember that sticks out that you were like, we might have to throw in the towel, or this might be it between the two of us?
We can probably independently
I'll answer. Let you go first.
I can't think of a single time where I thought like we were actually like close enough to the sun where it's like, oh, this might fizzle out.
It may have felt that way in the moment though. There's definitely a lot of I mean, we can even go back to kind of like the actual business that Matthias and I started that let us kind of leapfrog to where we are today, because him and I, we started and we managed and ran a wholesale cosmetics company for 8 years, and we ended up, you know, selling off, and that's what allowed us to get into real estate. But that whole experience was incredible, and there was a lot of times in there where like, hey, I don't know if we can, you know, if we can do this. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of challenges, the market is changing, we don't have the funding that we need, and just kind of a lot of these things. And it was just kind of like the perseverance of just kind of like going through it. And it's like, we don't really have another option. We spent all of our time doing this. Let's just see where this brings us. And just kind of through those good intentions and hard work, we were always just able to find our place in kind of the journey. And yeah, it's been awesome.
So yeah, we definitely thought the business could possibly go kaput at some point. But the relationship, no. So
never you guys.
Yeah, no. The relationship for my, absolutely not. I mean, like, at this point, it's like we're beyond brothers. You know what I'm saying? He's the godfather of my kid. Like he was at my wedding party. Like it's, I don't know. The business has definitely got pretty sketchy at moments. Yeah. But we're here.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you guys definitely compliment each other. I see it a lot. Have you read that book Rocket Fuel?
No.
Before? Jake and I, we actually found out that we were reading the same book on accident.
That's cool.
I wasn't like, oh, you should read this. But essentially it's you guys to a T.
Okay.
Talks about how there's usually two main mm-hmm. like tropes, being the visionary and then being the integrator.
Okay.
Visionary being the person who is more extroverted, mm-hmm. wants to go out and just tackle everything.
Okay.
And then the integrator who makes sure that the trains are on time and everything's running smoothly.
Okay. Okay.
Kind of like George with the underwriting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Keeping track. I definitely think you guys should read that book. It talks a lot more about how you guys work together and how not to go into your guys' territories.
Cool.
It seems like you guys have had much trouble.
Yeah, no, not at all. But I mean, the guy who wrote the book, I couldn't tell you his name right now, but he works with like huge companies that are making like multi-$1 million. And whenever he goes in to actually work with them, they end up like their revenue goes through the
roof. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, even though they're already functioning like beasts.
Yeah, at this point, it's just like, I don't even know. It's just, we just get whatever needs to happen done. And it's not like before where, like, I would say at this point we've gone through so much stuff, like there's no ego involved in any mm-hmm. of it. You know what I'm saying? We can talk directly to each other from like a different degree of understanding. I mean, it's been a long ass
time. And that's
time.
What kind of stood out to me when I met you guys at a real estate convention. I meet everybody at real estate.
Are you a realtor or something?
Yes.
Funny you ask. No, but you guys showed up. I was talking to a bunch of people at these real estate conventions, and everybody just kind of wanted to seem like they were doing more than they actually are, mm-hmm. and just kind of wanted that, like they were leading with their egos, mm-hmm. and then you guys come up just like shooting the shit, basically, and just like,
dude, it's
super
like
super genuine and transparent people.
Well, yeah, and it's this goes back to some experiences we've had also. I'm very wary of extremely overly well put together people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like, if you have to wear a suit everywhere, I'm already a little like, So, like, shout out to Sub2Drew. shows up in a tank top. Like, dude, and he'll show you, like, he's actually doing it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so right. To me also, like, transitioning into this the space of real estate has been cool, because it's either, like, you're actually doing it or you're not. Right. And the guy's actually doing it. It doesn't really matter how, like, in some cases, how they're dressed, how they present themselves, yada, yada, yada. Like, they have the structure and they're actually transacting, you know? So mm-hmm. It's kind of cool compared to some different industries where it's, like, a lot of this, like, I don't know, posturing and, like, you got to walk in and, like, you know, like, I don't know, all that stuff. To me, it's like you're over, like, too much lipstick on the pig. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
How did two grown men get into the cosmetic?
Speaking of lipstick. Lipstick.
We had to get into it.
Dude, so it's funny because it just takes us full circle on the whole thing. So I was doing commission-based sales for a merchandise liquidation company at the time. George was doing commission-based sales for...
It was a company by the name of Deliver Lean. They actually kind of blew up, but they were a healthy meal delivery service that they prepared meals and delivered it to your home. And I was their top sales rep over there. And
we were both top performing reps at, like, our specific organizations. We both realized, like, dude, like, this isn't it. Like, just being a commission-based rep, obviously, he saw the owner of his company crushing it. I was seeing the owner of my company crush it. Right. And we were like, well, listen, real estate is where we want to end up. So we signed up, like, every single other person in South Florida for a Gold Coast real estate license.
Yeah, baby.
Literally, it's like a bar mitzvah in this place at this point. It's like a coming of age. It's like, oh, you didn't get your license at some point, but you grew up in South Florida. That's weird.
It's good to know. I just moved here. So.
Yeah. So we did the Gold Coast course, and then very quickly you realize that the barrier of entry to become a licensed realtor is very low. Okay, because we were surrounded by just sloppy people, and we were like, man, this is kind of crazy. And yeah. At the time, we're both independently crushing it with what we're doing. And George just mentioned one day, like, man, why don't we just start a cosmetics, like, wholesaling business in what you're doing? And then it kind of went from there, where I'm remembering this right?
Yeah, you're remembering it right. The part that I remember is that I sold my car to start the...
Yeah, you did.
I sold my car to start the company because him and I both put in 50-50. Maybe we started off with like 5 or 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Used that to buy one pallet of makeup. He had a customer for it. We sold it. Flipped then we bought it. 2 pallets.
Flipped it.
You know, then 3 pallets, and then kept on flipping it. And we ended up growing that company pretty quickly. We were doing, you know, 6 figures within our first couple years. And then by year 3 or 4, we ended up being acquired by another bigger company where their main presence was on Amazon. Mm. And we were actually supplying them products that they were then retailing on Amazon because gotcha. We had such deep wholesale pricing. So they said, hey, there's a lot of synergies here. We want to bring you guys in.
Was that through your contact in China that you were?
No, okay. That was just through like a family friend that we had, that their main business was medical supply.
Mm-hmm.
They started doing health and beauty and cosmetics on Amazon, and we were selling to them and like, hey, like, we just want to bring you guys in. It made sense. We were going to be able to get funding. We're going to move into a 200,000 square foot warehouse fully under AC. There was just kind of a lot of benefits on the trade-off.
We looked at these guys as like they've already done what we're trying to do in a separate industry.
Right.
They've been in it for decades. Like, we were looking at it, it's like, this is going to be our mentors for taking this whole thing to the next level, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how we got into it.
So we started basically like a massive wholesale company. We capped out at 23 employees at one point. Mm-hmm. We had our own Shopify website, which we're doing crazy numbers on.
Mm-hmm.
We're selling on Amazon, we're selling on eBay, and then we're also supplying all of the discount retail stores and major retailers in the country of makeup and cosmetics. So prior to the merger of us being acquired, we were doing maybe around $350,000 a year. About 2.5 years later, once we sold the company, our gross yearly revenue was at $8 million,
oh,
right? Wow. So we did a huge jump in scaling in that period of time. Obviously, when we did the merger, we had sold to a lesser percentage of what that $8 million mm-hmm. is, but just the exponential growth that we had from there, we timed the market right, and you know, we're in the right place at the right time to be able to make that exit.
And some very important people also to help us make sure that we were good and taken care of also, like in the sense of not letting us do anything stupid.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, we did that, and then Matias and I had the hard conversation. We talked a lot of shit for a lot of years. It's like, hey, we want to be in real estate. That's what all the big dogs are doing. And it was just all talk. And then at some point it was like, all right, it's time to stop talking because we're 30 years old at this point.
Yeah.
Let's just get started. So just to kind of put it very, we started in 2023 in April. And at this point, we're in $1.3 million worth of debt that we bought, you know, houses on subject to. Mm-hmm. So we purchased four properties in about 5 or 6 months, you know, kind of just starting with zero experience. And, you know, here we are today.
Yeah, no, that's insane. I can't believe that you guys started just a couple months ago and have already knocked the wheels off this thing.
Dude, we're trying, man. It's tough. It's tough, but it's there. It's possible. A lot of the stuff the gurus are talking is actually attainable and it's real.
Are you guys both in sub two?
Neither in sub two.
Oh, right. You're in a separate group. So you're in a separate group though.
We're in a separate group, yeah.
So have you found the value in being in a course or a mentorship of that sort has already brought back the ROI, or how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I would say for sure. In our particular case, we've also spent money on a bunch of mentors, not a bunch, but like one or two that were absolutely not worth any dollar that we paid them. We won't name any of these, but like,
sure,
they pop up if you search, you know, some of them. The group we joined happened to be fairly small at the time, which was one of the main opportunities that we saw, because it's like you need to interact with the big guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, they know the secrets, like the 30-second clips. It's like the iceberg poster where it's like, oh, you only see what's above water. It's like a little tiny iceberg, and then you have the entire massive, like, that's a reality. So we wanted to have the opportunity to get really deep with some people that actually knew. And that's kind of what we ended up doing and leveraging it. And, it's been incredibly worth it in my opinion.
Yeah. My answer to that is that 100%, you know, paying for a mentor, it doesn't always pan out for everybody, but it's definitely at least a glimpse into how to do things properly. But it's only part of the equation. The other part of the equation is you trying and failing and trying to take what you've learned and then what your actions are and figure out how they mold into each other. And after failing enough and kind of, you know, doing enough, you know, research and consuming content, you kind of figure out what the proper mix is. Because what I find is there's a lot of people who sign up for the mentorship programs and they spend 6 months watching the videos.
Right.
But then where exactly. But then where's the action based on what you're learning? And then even when we go to the some of the real estate meetups, some people are like, oh, I've only been doing this for 4 years. You know, all right, we've only been doing this for 4 years too. What's the difference? The difference really is just kind of like putting the effort, not being afraid to fail, and then learning from your failures. Because although we learned a lot from the mentorship, what we do here every day of making calls, negotiating deals, sending out contracts is really where all the real learning has happened.
Yeah. And then the only thing I would add to that is, dude, there's so many people that sign up for mentorships thinking it's going to be the silver bullet. Like, that's it. I'm going to pay $10,000. I'm going to get all the scripts. I'm going to get, okay, what number do I used to call? It's like, it doesn't matter. The majority of the little details don't matter, because what you don't realize is you actually don't know 50% of the actual valuable stuff that you need to know, right? And until you get past your little tiny insecurities that are bullshit anyways, you're not going to put yourself in front of the actual challenge. You know what I'm saying? And like, so what George was saying, like, we took down four properties since we started, like, we own these properties. So like, we're learning what an actual wrap sale is. You know what I'm saying? And the challenges behind that. And like, we're learning all these actual things that, okay, had we assigned them, cool, we would have made, I don't know, $40,000, $60,000 in assignment fees, cool, left all the value of the deals on the table, but we'd have absolutely no idea about like what the reality is in owning properties. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To this degree for investment. So it's kind of one of those things, like, at some point you got to put your balls on the table and just go for it.
Yeah,
honestly,
get your hands dirty. And
you have to, because like, dude, you're not going to learn any of the stuff that these guys are teaching without actually trying to practice it. You could never teach this stuff in a book.
You can theorize it to
ever. You cannot. You have to go bash your head against the wall. You have to go home at the end of the day feeling like a worthless individual because you only got cursed out all day. And that can go on for days or weeks. And then at some point, something happens. I was like, oh, we need to start doing this more often. You know what I'm saying? And then like, slowly but surely you refine. But it's like failing upwards. You have to. That's the only way to do it.
What keeps you guys going? Like, let's say you have a terrible day. All these things that you're supposed to do, all these calls and whatever, they just don't pan out.
Yeah, we were actually talking about this a little bit kind of before you guys were going. Dude, at this point, at least in my life, I have a certain sense of duty towards me having to reach a certain level of success. So to me, we're big fans of Grant Cardone. Been big fans of Grant Cardone since like back in, way back in the day. And he's local, you know, so like he's got a lot of presence out here. And that guy emphasizes this super, super hard. I honestly blanked out a little bit on the last piece right
that's
there.
That's fine. I mean, my other half saved me.
Here I come. The whole failing upward thing and like the just going out and putting yourself in front of the actual challenges. What keeps me going? The duty to succeed, man. Like, honestly, like for me, I feel like it's an actual responsibility.
To yourself.
To myself and my family at this point also. Right, like the having a kid thing is like a real thing. But again, the... all those underlying desires and ambitions never go anywhere.
A kid thing is a real thing.
Yeah, dude, it is.
I can only imagine.
No, dude, it is. It's a lot, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
No, so I'll go ahead and answer that. Thanks, Matthias.
You're gonna need to do a little editing on that one.
Yeah. So I'm not gonna lie or bullshit. There's a lot of days where maybe we don't feel that we did what we needed to. There was, you know, a string of consecutive calls that didn't go the way that we needed to. Yesterday we lost a contract that was probably gonna be one of our biggest ones. So there's always gonna be days where bad things happens, and it's natural. We're all human. Where you kind of get sucked into what that is, but I guess what kind of keeps me going, what I have to remind myself about is that, you know, this is a process and this is a timeline, and it's very easy to get caught up in like a zoomed in version of where you are within that timeline. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes what I have to do is I have to pull myself out and say, hey, this is today. You guys started, you know, only 4 or 5 months ago. So your expectations are really high. What you want to accomplish is really high, and that's great. But then they're also speaking to what we were talking about before. There needs to be a balance, because if it's too high and then you're putting yourself too far away from what you think it is that you're trying to achieve, and all these negative, you know, thoughts start coming in, then you start self-cannibalizing yourself. So it's kind of having a balance, and also just kind of like a good nature of, you know, kind of knowing who yourself is to be able to realize, hey, this is happening. It was a super shitty day, but I've been alive for 30 years. I've had a bunch of other shitty days, and I'm still waking up, you know? So it's also, you know, there's another day to kind of restart and shake off whatever happened, you know, prior. It's not easy, but that's kind of how I personally manage or go through the thought process, whatever I'm feeling that we're not where we need to be for that day.
Makes sense. What would you guys say your guys' biggest challenge when it comes to the business is right now? Maybe on the mental side, maybe on the...
To me, I think it's really being able to scale. What challenges that we've had is since we've taken down basically every property that we've come across, you know, subject to or on creative finance, there's another side to acquiring a property, right? So it's like the whole thing is, oh, I want to buy this property. I want to buy this property. I want to get it. And then you actually get it.
Yeah.
Now what, right?
All
right,
you own it.
You know, so what was the exit strategy with the property and why you originally bought it? And then you need to obviously be prepared to go through all that. And now you need to dispo, whether it's going to be a wrap, whether you're going to get it set up for short-term rental, whether it's going to be a long-term rental, whatever it is, on the other side of that acquisition, which is what you've been waking up every day to try and get, mm-hmm. then there's another reality of, oh shit, now we need to actually do what comes after of what and we're trying to do. You know, so it becomes a lot. So what happened to us is we ended up taking down 2 or 3 properties that all happened within a couple of weeks. So now we have properties, we have mortgage overhead that we have to pay for. We have to do any repairs. We have to get them staged. We have to do all these things. And it takes time and it takes effort. And we had no experience doing this shit before. So we spent a lot of time in trying to learn, okay, now we got it. What are all the things we need to do with the insurance and this and that? And you know, just being able to get the property up. So that kind of took away from our acquisitions phase. Mm-hmm. And we realized that a lot, because once we got this property situated, then we went back and looked at the pipeline, nothing in there. So having to start from zero.
Literally. And it literally feels like starting from zero. Because the pipeline for this, especially, so if you're doing on-market creative finance type of acquisitions, it takes a little while to get the pipeline going, right? I mean, it's seldom that you'll come across an agent that you talk to and like, oh my God, this is exactly what I need, right? It's not like that. You know exactly how it is. So it takes a little while. You got to nurture. I have people I've been calling for like a month and a half that I'm still tracking. You know what I'm saying? And it just takes a while to get the engine started on the acquisition side. So we will never be letting off of that pedal ever again.
So that was our bottleneck. So what we're going to do is we're going to be hiring, you know, either VAs or in-person people that we can add to the team that can make sure if we have properties that are in the portfolio that we're managing, if it's not somebody else who's going to manage it, somebody needs to be managing, you know, the leads and the inbound, but we want to have somebody who's constantly calling, constantly having those conversations and constantly kind of like feeding in new leads that we can eventually scale. So to us, at the point that we're in right now, our focus is on how can we kind of get more leads through the pipeline and acquisitions. And I think everybody else, everything else will fall into place from there.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's a big emphasis on one, being able to pivot, but I got a huge picture of like climbing up a hill and then figure out behind it that there's a whole nother bigger hill.
Oh, dude, so. Absolutely. That's a great way to put it. It's like you get to the crest of it and then it's like, oh shit, I actually got to go down another 500 feet and then there's like 3,000 more feet up. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's a very accurate portrayal.
I think we've gotten a lot of really, really great stuff here. And we, towards the end of the podcast, what I like to ask, do you have any other questions you wanted, you were burning to ask?
No, go for it.
Okay. No, this is the time.
What I was going to say was earlier, because you guys were just mentioning, like, I feel like a lot of people, they don't know what actual productivity is. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get busy, myself included. Mm-hmm. I used to just think as long as I'm doing something, as long as I'm doing an action, I will see results. So did you guys ever have that learning curve, or were you guys just always like on like, okay, all my actions are efficient?
No, dude, not at all. I mean, you got to figure when we started making cold calls, first of all, George comprehends concepts and stuff a lot, like certain things a lot faster than I do, right? So like, I'll joke around where it's like, dude, you got to translate this shit, right? So originally we were going to go, the approach to real estate was going to be off market, direct to seller, wholesaling, you know what I'm saying? Cash buys, whatever, like the kind of more typical thing. George, doing the research, starts finding all these other things, finds creative finance, and then it took me a little while to comprehend exactly what, how it worked, right? Mm-hmm. And then to just start getting on the phones, following a script to which I didn't fully understand exactly what I'm even saying, getting asked questions, you know, and then you just have to know, like, so we're both sales guys. So it's like, you get asked a question, it's like, oh, you know what? I don't have that answer right now, but I'm going to talk to somebody else. I'll get you the answer you need. Blame somebody else for it. Like, oh, I'm just a lead gen guy. You know, you'll talk to our actual acquisitions manager later. Like, you just have to roll with it. But absolutely not efficient. I mean, the whole learning curve is inefficient. Our process to get to the point where we feel like we're refining and improving our list pulling for real estate has
taken. But they were the right actions.
Right. So, like, the one thing I will say from our previous partnership, and one of the mentors who we still hold extremely dearly, like, I don't know, like a family member, uncle, he would always emphasize your highest and best use. You have to focus on your highest and best use. And oftentimes it's based around revenue production. So it's like, okay, do we have a website? Yeah. Have we done anything for that website? No. Because by the time that thing starts ranking on Google, dude, we will already have gone out of business. So we need to find ways to produce cash flow now, you know? Yeah. So it's always acquisitions. I mean, our biggest, dude, we stopped doing acquisitions altogether for almost 2 months because we bought these properties. Huge mistake. We should have never slowed down on the acquisition side.
So,
you know?
So now what we did. But you guys did spread yourself a little thin there because you had all these properties that you just acquired, and it's like, who?
Correct.
Who's going to handle them if you don't?
Dude, super inefficient. We flew to Panama City Beach 3 times to get that place.
I know. Every time I texted you, you're like, in Panama.
So it's like, so we're paying for the lessons also, you know, and like we're fully aware of that. It's you're going to pay for it one way or another. Like you were saying in one of your previous ones, it's either time or it's going to be money. Sometimes it's both, you know what I'm saying? But you have to learn, like you have to walk out of it better prepared than you were previously.
Yeah, so our transition, our pivot into being more efficient is now, since, I mean, it's his strength anyways, he's only doing acquisitions. Mm-hmm. I'm focusing on dispoing or getting, you know, the properties that do we have either sold, rented, or whatever it is, handling admin and doing underwriting for him. Mm-hmm. And we found a good groove. I would say we've been averaging like you know, today was a little bit different, but over the past couple of days after we started pulling new lists, about 4 to 5 LOIs that we're sending every single day of actual agents who said, yeah, send me that information, you know, so we're...
What does LOI mean? Just for
letter of intent.
It's a letter also of intent. Me. Yeah. Yeah. Basically. So it's our kind of, instead of saying verbal, it's us putting something in writing like, hey, here's what we're proposing. Here are the numbers. There's a couple of things that we need to verify to actually make it official and put it in a contract, but at least here's something in writing that we're comfortable with. Because a lot of the times the agents will say, yeah, I've got 20 calls, but nobody sent me anything in writing. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know what we're doing, so we'll go ahead and do that. And that's kind of like how it's been. So to me, I'm just appreciative of the constant learning and from just previous experiences of knowing you have to eat shit for a lot of time, you get to appreciate that process, you know? Yeah. So it's like, now we're in the point of doing that where in other businesses, it's like, fuck, this shit sucks. You know, where it's like, now it's like, fuck, this shit sucks, but I know where this is gonna get us, so.
And real estate, like, I don't know. It's a lot more of a tangible pathway to success, in my opinion. It's definitely one of the more tried and trues. At the end of the day, it's mathematics. You know what I'm saying?
Very proven.
Yeah, it's extremely proven, you know? And there's an immense amount of content out there. In all reality, anybody could become a subject matter expert without paying for a single course, honestly. Like, the content's out there. It's there.
Yeah.
It's just, who's actually going to go and execute on that, you know? And I don't know.
Yeah, I guess if I would have to conclude kind of like what this podcast and really what the underlying message is because we're involved in real estate, but we really didn't talk about the technicalities or how it is that we're doing or, hey, we're doing this or we're doing this. Really, even all the way back to our other businesses, everything had to do with kind of like effort, right? Putting in the work and just kind of having that time into it where... That's kind of like the conclusion, at least of this discussion. We've talked about a bunch of things, but it's really just kind of getting out there and everything else will come.
Right.
And you can't try and be perfect in the beginning, which again, it's natural human nature to want to try and understand everything to the full level that you need to proceed. And that's something that I'm a little bit more like that because I'm a little bit more of an analytical person. So I need to go in that. And that's where he's like, all right, we're running and all right, I'm following you. Then we end up finding our pace and it goes, you know, both ways. So that's what I would say is the biggest message kind of this conversation is, yeah, you can learn how to do things, but not everybody really can learn how to put in the work ethic. And that's kind of what separates, you know, the doers from, you know, the people who are still constantly trying to do.
Shut up and work. That can be the title. Dude, at the end of the day, it kind of comes down to that. Like all the emotional stuff, the shitty days, the good days.
Right.
At the end of the day, you got to just go put in the work.
But you guys were built with this work ethic. Like you guys,
well, what's
from
the
what
choice?
It sounds, yeah,
dude,
exactly.
What's
but
the
I mean,
option?
Like, not everybody has that.
You know,
wants it, I feel like, but nobody actually will just get down and dirty and just start putting in the mundane hours to do what it takes unless they're on Adderall, but like...
Dude, no, that might be necessary.
It might just be how you guys function.
No, but like you just have to, and you have to play off the advantages that you have. Everybody has an advantage. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how much of a victim you think you are. You have an advantage that somebody else wishes they had. Figure that out and leverage it, man. You have to.
That's good.
At the end of the day, because it's like, what, are you just going to have a pity party all day? You know, you don't have what you want? Dude, go get it. Like, no one's going to give it to you. The world doesn't want to give you what you want. You have to go get it. And, like, simply put, I don't know, like, that's a... Just like a core underlying belief. I mean,
yeah, it's like play the game
or get off the field. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, what, for us, what's the alternative? We're just going to be working for somebody, you know, not motivated.
I know this is going to be live, but we're also leveraging.
Yeah, we may not want to publish that.
We need to censor George.
Just
no PG, kids. Earmuffs.
It sounds like, and what you kind of summarize is, if your priorities are straight, all action is good action. As long as you learn from it and can move forward and pivot and realize if you're fucking up or not, then, you know, that's the bottom line is you need to be doing something, obviously in a forward direction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which kind of leads us into the final question, which I like to ask. And a lot of people feel like maybe they're not doing enough or they compare themselves to other people. Throughout your lives and what has led you to here now, are you guys proud of yourselves individually?
That's a great question. I would tell you that in looking at it retrospectively, like in this format, there's definitely moments I can really highly appreciate that I definitely didn't appreciate enough in real time. And then there's kind of the additional things that have been created from this, George and I's relationship, all the other things that have spanned from it that would have never happened had we done this. So I would say that I'm proud of ourselves. I mean, even just to be able to say that we've made it this far and like the trajectory that we're going, I would say absolutely proud of ourselves.
This is about you.
Oh, I would say I'm proud of myself, but not proud enough. Like there's still a very long runway before I can say like. And
for all the like highly performing people, I feel like that's always the case. So.
I know my mom's proud of me.
That's all that matters.
No, but it's that's because I think you have to have a little bit of the sickness where it's not the end result that is what makes you excited. It's this process. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you're not like, you have to be wanting to be in the trenches and dealing with it and get scarred up in the face and like come out of it like, all right, cool, we're, you know, we grew from this.
Yeah, battle worn.
Yeah, man, of 100%. Course. Of course.
You agree?
Yeah, man, I would for sure agree. Like I said, I'm 100% proud of myself. I feel like I've accomplished a lot, but at the same time, there's still a lot left that I want to accomplish. So I'm not fully proud to the extent where that keeps like the little bit of fire of like, there's still way more to accomplish. And
you're not satisfied.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. I'm not satisfied. I'm happy in the moment, but it's there's just I haven't reached on, you know, where I wanted to, so I'm not fully satisfied. And that's what allows us to, I guess, keep on doing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can still be proud of the work that you guys
are
doing.
Yeah, yeah. And this is something that we heard from our previous mentors and like business partners also, you know, like when we were first coming on with them, it was like, oh, boys, just appreciate the little things, appreciate the story, because they're obviously way down the path. Yeah. And then they're looking back, they're seeing us not necessarily appreciating, you know, like the obviously hindsight's 2020 thing. Mm-hmm. But again, it's still, I mean, dude, when you're in the trenches, you have a goal you're trying to accomplish, like the little things don't mean.
Oh, they'd probably trade anything for one day back in the trenches.
Dude, and it goes back to that whole balance topic, man.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's tough.
But, well, I'm proud of you guys.
Thanks, man.
No, I'm actually very grateful that I met you guys and can actually call you my close friends.
Dude, likewise. Absolutely.
No, I look up to you guys a lot.
Absolutely. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then something else about us is like we love connecting with people, and as long as we feel like there's like kind of that reciprocity of, you know, the effort and the intention, mm-hmm. like we love, you know, networking and talking to people and trying to help, you know, people grow and to help ourselves grow also. We're just learning. So mm-hmm. anybody who's more advanced than we are, like we appreciate that, and we, you know, kind of pay it forward the other way around, where if there's anybody else who's starting off, we have no problem jumping on a call with them saying, hey, you know, just kind of talking them through the day or just anything like that. And there's also like a community support that we found through the real estate community. Not everybody's like that, but
shout out to Peyton Burks.
Yeah. But whoever is, it's there's also kind of like this community that really feels good to be able to build. And there's like an aspect of that that's not directly related to the business, but it just kind of complements each other and kind of helps us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, finding like-minded people is such an incredible thing.
And it's difficult.
100%.
It's pretty challenging. 100%.
Yeah, and then there's that fine line between, is this now an echo chamber?
Yeah, correct. You have to be able to argue and like get into it. And I mean, listen, George and I don't agree on a lot of things. That's kind of part of it, right? Yeah. And then through the discussions is where we'll figure it out. And then at times we'll be like, all right, let's just try it. Like, whatever. Right. What do we have, you know?
But I also see, and especially in you guys, when you guys were talking about your story, you guys were both hustling, and I feel like that kind of positivity and motion attracts you to other people,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the same path and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So mm-hmm. as soon as you start putting in the work, literally, I moved here. He on a whim moved here as well, not a little bit before, but like, you know, as soon as I started putting myself out there, I was like, all right, like, I don't know anyone at this event, but, and I don't even know anything about real estate, but I'm going to go. And
mm-hmm.
I'm finding out more, to be honest, that right now what I want to pursue is content and stuff like that. So that's where I'm putting my focus. And I love hearing about real estate, and it's something I want to get into eventually, but, mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be about the same topic. Mm-hmm. Like, as long as you're putting the work in and you're showing, you know, I'm serious about something, and mm-hmm. that's like a mindset. And mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
And energy.
Well, let me ask you this: are you guys proud about what you've accomplished, you know, this far mm-hmm. for yourselves personally?
So, never been asked that.
There we go, George. Yes. I like it.
Starting to get asked questions here. No, First of all, I love asking that question because most of the people that I have on here, you know, are doing great things and have been successful, and so they seldom stop and ask themselves that question. And my answer will be very similar. It's, you know, yes, I'm proud of. Recently, I brought on James to this podcast, but it's been a very cool process. Now, this will be podcast 14 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the first ones were terrible, like terrible quality, like some great people on them, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. It wasn't their fault, it was me.
Mm-hmm.
But just like seeing the progress in the last one I did with James, I felt like everything just kind of meshed together and kind of felt in the zone, I guess you could say. So, but yes, I would say yes.
Jimmy?
Yes. No, I mean, and just to piggyback on him, he should be too, because I mean, I've seen so many people start podcasts, and they either have this idea of it and it never actually comes to fruition, mm-hmm. or they just fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And once I found like Jake's podcast, I was like, oh wow, like he's actually doing this, and he's mm-hmm. actually asking thoughtful and insightful questions and is serious about something. And I'm like, I really want to be this guy's friend now. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He's not necessarily the real estate aspect, but just like we are two people mm-hmm. who want to do something that is going to take effort and put us in uncomfortable positions. And mm-hmm. I feel like mm-hmm. we can form bonds through that, mm-hmm. whether it's the same topic or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
And but, they can mesh together these days, social media and content,
yeah,
and real estate and all true. That kind of stuff.
Like,
so.
Just like today.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but
Exhibit A.
Again, it's like, how do you get started without getting started? You know what I'm saying? You're not going to learn what you need to figure out until you're actually.
Yeah.
It didn't start with, I have, you know, more equipment than I, it's, you know, it started with this camera and one little microphone. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
mm-hmm. there's this really good quote. It's like, if you want to learn how to ride a bike, you could read a book on how to mm-hmm. ride a bike, mm-hmm. but you're never actually going to be able to learn
correct.
How to ride a bike unless you
yeah.
hop on the bike.
100%.
Yeah. That quote also summarizes the conversation. It's a good quote there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, we. But yes, I am proud of myself.
Yeah, man.
So the last thing we do here, which I forgot to write down certain things, is word association. Do you want to just free ball it?
We're just going
to
freestyle? Give me a
dude,
beat.
Dude, let's go. Are you guys going to say a word and then we have to say what we think?
Yes. And then I got my own spin
short
on.
Answer.
Okay.
Short answer, you, ideally a couple words.
Okay.
On your first thoughts that come when you when you hear that word.
Let's see. George, you can go. You can do the first one.
Oh, okay.
Do you have some ideas?
I thought you had a word, man. Okay, no, I got a word. I got a word right now.
Yeah, okay, go.
Cat.
I just think of my sweet two little babies upstairs.
That was like six words.
Your shirt at the sub two meet.
By Cool Cat and Kid. I'll wear that one next podcast.
Nine right. lives.
That was okay. Matthias? Give Matthias.
Give me a different word. I'm not a cat person, man.
Real estate.
Work.
Work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Wealth.
Well, okay. Yeah. In a positive sense.
Work.
Real estate. No.
Do it again.
Max effort, man. Yeah.
Love.
Max effort also.
Okay.
I guess. Yeah.
Motivation.
Max effort?
Default, I guess. Motivation. I don't know how to do this in short answers, man.
Aspirations, dreams.
Okay.
There we go.
Those could be motivating things.
Absolutely.
Right?
And then we'll just finish it off with success.
A journey.
That's good.
Yeah, a journey.
I have a surprise for everybody here.
Oh,
so I have gifts that I wanted to give
yeah!
you guys. This is for you, Jake.
Sick. Dude, this is awesome.
So this is not a selfless action. I actually had to buy three books to get the cool hat that came with it. The Alex Hormozi acquisition.com hat.
Is it signed?
It's not. I can sign it for you later.
You can sign it though. Dude, this is awesome.
But no, I actually, what's really funny is I bought these a while ago, but it shipped to my house in California, so I wasn't able to pick it up until my trip. And
dude, this is...
I was actually thinking about giving you guys one and giving you one, but now the opportunity just kind of
this is awesome.
Materialized awesome. Itself right, to this moment. So bro, you guys will have to share that. Maybe that's you can fine. Like read it to each other.
I'll hold the left side, he holds the right side of the book.
Sleep. Before you go to sleep in bed at night.
Yeah, no, this is amazing. Thanks, man.
Incredible. One last thing. Before we have guests on our podcast, Jake and I like to, like we've done this before.
Yes.
We like to research our guests. Okay. So our private eye dug up some dirt on both of you guys.
Oh, boy. I love this.
I just have one question, man.
Oh, I'm excited.
What is going on? And how did you pull off these cornrows?
Dude, I'm trying to grow my hair out to get back to that right now.
Let me show the camera.
Holy shit, how do you find that?
Yes.
Yeah.
George, you did not come out squeaky clean, unfortunately, man. Yeah. You had some dirt. And it's happened to be on your lip.
You're in that photo too, actually.
Wait, this is where the idea for the mustache right rides here. Came. Remember how we wanted a side to start a ride from the school down to? Was because I used to wear a fake mustache.
Dude, that's
totally it looks like it ride. Filled in the rest of the way. So
filling in where it's not.
Dude, that's great, bro. That all right? So
you guys can keep these.
Yeah,
I have copies.
This is the picture that pops up when I call my wife currently. By the way, yeah. this was me entering. This is literally the first day of seventh grade. I went to a middle school named Crispus Attucks, right here in Liberia, in the county of Broward. And yeah, I had full blown cornrows, man. I grew up cornrows. I'm rocking the FUBU jersey. It's good times. I think you should keep this, put it on your mirror in your bathroom.
Actually, you're right.
I mean, look at the differences in hair. He's got the full buzz cut.
I know, right?
Totally,
that's incredible.
Totally switched it up. That's a good picture.
This is when we were in college. Sophomore year?
We used to mess around and go out to the bars, like the whole group of us, and just randomly throw on fake mustaches just because we thought it'd be funny to roll up to the bar in fake mustaches, and then it was as funny as you thought.
Have you seen those birthday parties where they like go and pick somebody's outfit out at the thrift shop and then everybody has to go out and
their
prospective outfit?
Oh, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
He's got a bachelor party that we're going to have to plan soon, so maybe.
Oh, shit.
Yes, sir.
Dude, this
bring
is
the mustaches out, boys.
Like this should be, we should continue to keep doing that.
No, the pictures are hilarious.
Amazing.
Yeah, this is hilarious. I wasn't sure what was going to come out of that bag.
Neither was I.
No, man, really, really cool. What I was going to say is
yeah.
We need to do this again in like a couple months.
100%.
Either, I don't know what frequency, but either at 6 months or a year, because I'm just curious to then... see where we're at that point.
Absolutely.
Honestly.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And just want to say thank you guys for coming and hosting the podcast over here. It was a pleasure to be a part of and can't wait to watch it when it's edited.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's been a fun
when it's beeped out. Will
we get F-bombs? some like shots at reviewing some things before they go live?
No. Well, thank you guys for being here. If someone out there is looking to sell a property, get into real estate in Florida, where can they? Do you guys have Instagram?
Uncut James.
I'm
the real estate agent here.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, they can refer to our real estate agent, James Harden. And then, you can reach us on via Instagram. I mean, we have the company website, which is usa-creative.com. Cool. It's not built out, it's really just kind of like a temporary landing page at the moment. But we can share.
Yeah, we'll put in the links.
Yeah, some contact info, some stuff.
Cool. And it's not even like competitive like that. Honestly, everybody in like real estate, if you know how to do it, can work together pretty harmoniously.
That's one of the coolest
parts. Where it's like, hey, I don't have anything, but my boys Matias and George might, vice versa.
Yeah.
And then it's just all referral based. And
the secret sauce is like the knowledge is what I've come to learn. Right. Like our previous business, the secret sauce was. I mean, in real estate, it's knowledge and relationships. Our previous business was like relationships that nobody can ever find out about because they'll steal your person. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This is so different. It's like, oh yeah, here's my title agency. You can use it. So it's been very refreshing in that sense where it's not like this big secret, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's been cool in that one.
Yeah, it's like planting a tree instead of just like picking the fruit from it.
Correct. Exactly.
You're all over it today.
Dude, on fire over here. This guy was reading The Art of War on the top here.
There's this book, it's called The War of Art. Okay. By Stephen Pressfield.
Okay.
And it actually reminded me of you guys because, like, you guys started a few months ago, but you guys have been going nonstop diligently, and you've been rewarded for it. Some people will call that luck. Stephen would call it the muse granting you her blessings.
Yeah.
But, I mean, ultimately, if you do the work, good things are going to come. So
it's true.
And you guys are prime examples of that. So
dude, we're trying to be.
It's been fun watching you guys grow. I'm looking forward to see what you guys get up to next.
Appreciate it, man. Absolutely. Likewise for you boys as well.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. And thank you guys for watching. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button, like button, all that good stuff. And check out
their merch socials. Available in the shop.
But yeah, stay delusional because success comes when you least expect it.
Isn't that a fire line?
Wow, I like that. That is very nice.
That is it.